Cindy Gustafson has been instrumental in establishing the Tahoe Fund, where she is the volunteer chair of the board of directors. In her capacity as general manager of Tahoe City Public Utility District, she and her staff serve Tahoe's West Shore with water provision, sewer collection, and park and recreation services. In the 30 years she has been at Lake Tahoe, Gustafson has been a leader in securing funding for and administering capital projects. In this interview, hear about the direction the Tahoe Fund will be taking from Cindy Gustafson, chair of the board.
Welcome, Cindy Gustafson, to this Tahoe Project interview. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're here to talk about the Tahoe Fund, and I'd like to pick up, in a general sense, where I left off in the conversation with Amy Berry, the Tahoe Fund's new CEO, the other day. Can you just, for our listeners, tell us your role with regard to the Tahoe Fund?
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks for asking. And my role has been as chair of the fund for the last 2 years. I was everything from, creating materials, helping oversee contracts for the materials and getting things on the ground, to trying to set up the initial policies, working with the rest of the board on policy development. So a whole range of activities.
Great. And then you're still in that position as board chair today.
I still am today.
Great. Okay.
They haven't kicked me out yet.
When we look at the Tahoe Fund website, mm-hmm. it describes in clear letters that one of your objectives is to deliver projects that ensure a sustainable future for mm-hmm. Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of discussion out in the world about what sustainable means, can you give us the definition that you've arrived at the Tahoe Fund?
Well, I can only give you my perspective. I can't give you the whole board's perspective.
Okay.
I think one of the great strengths of the board is its diversity, and we have a lot of common vision on a number of issues, but we haven't necessarily defined what sustainability is to each of us. Certainly there's environmental sustainability and improvement that's so necessary at Tahoe. But I think for some of us, and maybe for all, there's a real recognition that sustainability also has to be the social fabric of the community. Who are the stewards and the caretakers for the lake? Who are the most passionate for the lake? Are often our local residents. As a very young woman here in town, and at the time we started talking about sidewalks, it amazed me that we didn't have a walking community in such a wonderful mountain environment. And I think those of us that worked on that project saw it as the first step to trying to help the businesses recreate themselves, to improving and making modifications to their properties that would improve not only their economic viability, but also their environmental footprint. And we didn't see that investment as a result. And so for me personally, looking at my little bit of the lake that I'm so close to, which is the Tahoe City downtown core, we've done the stormwater, we've done the sidewalks, but how do we create the economic investment from the private sector to make those improvements, to help the environment, and also help their businesses survive and be able to fund in additional environmental repair. So there's sustainability is in there's so many things to talk about with sustainability, because the social environment depends on at least having public employees that can live in the Tahoe Basin. Not to be too social engineering, but I mean, most of my employees for my paying job, the Tahoe City Public Utility District, live outside the basin, and they commute in. And I was fortunate to come here at a time when I could live and work in my own community, and I'm 2 minutes away. I can walk to work, I can bicycle to work, often I drive to work, but I can do those other modes, and many of my employees can't do that. They also can't be part of the social fabric in coaching Little League and educating children and being mentors to our community. And I see this growing diversity in our who's here. We lose our middle class and our professionals, and we have more of working class and an upper class of second homeowners. And how can we find that mix and continue to have that fabric in our community. That's what it means to me. But I don't want to speak just, you know, for the Tahoe Fund, because I think each of us has a different idea of what that sustainability will look like. But it's got to combine both, environment and social.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. Moving through the website, there are some other goals, I interpret them, of the Tahoe Fund that I'm looking for your insight into.
Sure.
One of them says, balance our environments. Mm-hmm. And that's been mysterious to me. What does balance our environments mean to the Tahoe Fund?
Well, I think exactly what I was just talking about, which is finding that balance point where we protect the environment, enhance the environment, restore those areas, but also recognize that people are here, that we didn't become a wilderness area, that we're not a national park. We don't have an agency that can regulate who can come in and out of the basin. It's open to the public. There's been huge public investment. Now, how do we balance those impacts with the environment, with the environmental needs? Getting people out of their vehicles, getting them to walk and bicycle and take transit and do other activities, you know, and moderate their behaviors while they're in the Tahoe Basin so that they are less impactful. And so I think that's the balancing of those environments. And I think we as we sat around in our strategic planning sessions, talked about the human environment as well as the natural environment. And sometimes in Tahoe, it has felt that the human environment is a source of the problems, which of course it is, but we need to balance it. We can't just regulate people out of the Tahoe Basin. We also need to understand that they're here, accept them, and find ways for them to be here without impacting or less impactful to the environment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I mean,
yes.
I'm not as articulate as probably some of your other guests, but anyway.
Okay, so balancing our environments, having to do with acknowledging and accommodating the human impacts and doing everything possible to mitigate or lessen those impacts,
right.
In order to really turn everyone's focus and direction on what an environmental treasure Tahoe is.
Exactly.
Okay. Moving right through, again, you're on your website, encourage public-private partnership and collaboration. That can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. Again, in the Tahoe Fund context, what is it that you're going for?
Well, my background, again, in Tahoe City has been finding ways to get projects done. And what we found the most important projects for our community always required private funding and private ownership. Everything from Tahoe City sidewalks having little plaques of donors who bought a street light or a tree or contributed to small planted areas in front of people's businesses to benches. It required private investment. And I think the idea of public-private partnerships goes much larger than that, obviously. There's major corporations, the banking industry, financial industries outside of the Tahoe Basin that have been very helpful with Yosemite in investing where the Park Service didn't have funding to assist in environmental and trailhead restoration, wetlands projects, many of the projects that we've been doing in Tahoe, but haven't really pursued some of the larger funding sources outside the Tahoe Basin. So I think, you know, our goal was to look at how we could engage some of that corporate or foundation giving into the Tahoe Basin in a meaningful way to help complement the public agencies. Public agencies don't have the funding they did. And the SNPLMA money, the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act funding, as well as state bond funding is disappearing. And we know that the funding goes where you can show you have a partnership. Senator Feinstein has told us that. The senators from Nevada, Reed and Heller, have told us that. Where we can find private sector investment in funding these projects, they're more likely to be able to help support us gaining federal or state funding. It's the way of the future. We need to collaborate on collaboration issues. We need to work together to find mutual goals, bring the parties together, and agree on projects that we can all agree on. And I think there's a lot of those. I think often Tahoe's, we hear about the conflicts in Tahoe, we don't hear about the successes. And I'm happy to have been part of some of those successes, even on very minuscule level, a mile of, or less than a mile of sidewalk, or a mile of bike trail. But those are great success stories of public and private working together. So it can take different forms. Sometimes it's funding, sometimes it's donations of easements or land that have helped us create those projects that have benefited both the environment, retrofitted infrastructure that was built in the 60s without the kind of knowledge base we know now of what, how we need to build things to protect the environment, deal with stormwater and runoff and erosion. And the private sector has been instrumental in that. And I know when we first started, there was controversy about, you've got these developers on your board. We also had other people on the board, but the developers were a lightning rod, and oh my gosh, they're just trying to find a way to get funding for their projects. Not at all. I mean, really, it was this vision of working together to fund the public projects and the necessary EIP projects and the types of projects that I think we've all come to love at Lake Tahoe.
This is the end of part one of the Tahoe Project interview with Cindy Gustafson. Listen to part two to hear about how Tahoe Fund aims to engage corporate and foundation giving in Tahoe Basin projects.